Now, let's get on to the sprint race itself. Zhou Guan Yu, Alex Albon, Lance Stroll, every single one of them is in a pit lane start this weekend. Not because of any replacement parts. They didn't wreck anything. There was no collisions or anything along that line. It is just raining like the apocalypse itself, and they needed to do setup changes. Now, if you've never watched a sprint race before, let me break it down to you. It's not a full race. In this case, we've only got 24 laps with 15 turns. You need to equal 100 in a sprint race. In this case, it happens to be 24 laps. Each course is a little bit different because they're a little bit different in length size. So the way the point structures work is that only the top eight drivers get points. Now, the way that the points are set up, though, is the last person, the eighth person, gets 1 point. Seventh gets two, six gets three, five, and so on, all the way up to number one. Number one gets 8 points max. You do still get a point for the fastest lap. Now, these doesn't seem like a whole lot of points, but when you have a very, very close championship battle, whether it's the drivers or the constructors championship, 1 point in sprint race can make all the difference. Some people absolutely love it. Some people absolutely hate it. I think they've gotten this down a little bit better than they did last season. These points are starting to become a little bit more useful. And they've also tweaked how the weekends go. So it's a little bit easier to get around the Parc Fermé rules between the Grand Prix and the sprint itself. But let's get into the sprint because that's what you came to listen for. Now, with the addition to the, let's call it, changing and very complicated weather, this race was actually pretty entertaining at all. Very, very clean start. Max still having a struggle to keep up with Leclerc. The Red Bull is just not super fast on this track at all. Very, very clean start. Nobody crashed, nobody spun out, nothing along that line. 24 laps goes by in a heartbeat, and especially when you've got two cars in one and two like McLaren does, team orders become very, very important. Now, if you remember back to a few races ago, we were in Budapest. The team orders were not exactly adhered to very quickly by some racers. Now, this is a McLaren again. Let's go back to Budapest and explain why. So in Budapest, it was agreed upon beforehand that Piastri was going to pass Norris and he was going to get his first win. Norris, not exactly being a team player, was like 6 or 7 seconds ahead, and he was just ignoring it until literally the very last lap. And everyone was really concerned about if Norris was actually going to listen to team orders. His race advisor and everybody on the team was reminding him that, hey, a championship is not won one driver at a time. You are going to need Piastri at some point, so please listen to this and listen to team orders. Well, Norris does eventually end up letting Piastri pass. I mean, it's a bad way for Piastri to earn his first win, but that's not the issue here. So all of a sudden, we're in a reverse position. Now, Piastri's ahead of Norris. Really, really good driving by Piastri. Now, Piastri's getting asked to slow down at some point so Norris can pass him, because at this point, they need the points. Norris is in a higher position in the driver's championship than Piastri is. Okay, so this makes sense. The driver that's got the most points should continue to earn the most points when the opportunity arises. It seemed very confusing for a couple of minutes that Piastri was getting all these instructions and that was he going to pass him or not. Now, Piastri had even slowed down for Norris, but Norris just was not able to get into the DRS zone very often. He was not able to pass Piastri on his own accord. Piastri really, really, really had to slow down a lot for Norris to pass him. It did eventually happen. McLaren did get the points that they need, which was fantastic. So I think everything is kind of settled down in McLaren now that when team orders come in, that they will obey them 100%. Now, that being said, it's not exactly the most opportune time to do this, but at the same time, if your teammates are going to listen, everybody should be happy. In the meantime, in the back, Checo Perez versus Liam Lawson. Now, this is going to be, you know, a title fight, a positionary fight that we need to keep an eye on for the rest of the season, just because if Checo Perez does not do what he needs to, Lawson is going to replace him. So it's essentially, it's the future versus the past, essentially. Like, the future could be catching up to Checo Perez and could literally and figuratively be passing him in, right in front of his eyes. It was a good battle. It was a very, very clean battle, which was nice to see. After everything was all said and done, Piastri, or Checo Perez, he also ends up finishing in the points. He ends up finishing in eighth. He gets the very last point, which, I mean, thankfully for Red Bull, they do need every point they can get just in the Constructors' Championship. But it also gives Checo Perez a little bit of confidence in himself that, yes, I am actually a good driver. I know what I'm doing, and I can keep up with the best of them. Some people who were not having a fantastic sprint race, even though they were doing very, very, very well, Nico Hülkenberg has to end up stopping on turn 10. I mean, it's a yellow flag, smoke coming from the back of the car. He does not get, or he does not finish. Unfortunately for Hülkenberg, he's having a really good streak. He's racing really, really well to try and keep his job for next season and to just show Kick Sauber that they did make the right decision. Luckily for him, if there is a silver lining, it wasn't anything that he did. He didn't wreck the car. It was just a mechanical malfunction, smoke coming from the car, like I said before. So it sucks for him that he didn't get any points, but he also didn't cause it, right? So there's always that little bit of a bright area. Let's get into the top. We're going to do the top 10, even though the top 8 only get points. So top 10, Alex Albon in 10th, Liam Lawson in 9th, Checo Perez in 8th. Again, that battle between Lawson and Perez is definitely going to be one to keep an eye on. Alex Albon was right behind Lawson as well. Both of these guys are driving extraordinarily well. Pierre Gasly in 7th, George Russell in 6th, Sainz in 5th, Max Verstappen in 4th, Leclerc in 3rd, Piastri and Norris 2nd and 1st. Max Verstappen ends up getting a 5-second penalty due to the yellow flag infringement when Nico Hülkenberg was off. It was a rolling start, so you have to be so close or so far to your opponent ahead of you. Max was over that threshold. He ends up getting a 5-second penalty, so he ends up going from 3rd to 4th, giving Ferrari and Leclerc more points than they actually deserve, but kind of not really helping his cause there. So now let's get into actual Grand Prix qualifying. Let's cover full practice the 1 hour of practice that they had, absolutely pouring down. So now practice, the 1 hour of practice, the Grand Prix qualifying and the sprint qualifying all happens on the same day because it was absolutely so, so, so busy. My correction, everybody. That's my apologies. Full practice one, absolutely demolishing the cars. Alex Albon demolishing, absolutely fucking up his car in the rain 100%. A bunch of like 5 other cars end up binning it because the rain is so heavy in Brazil. The rain was so heavy in Brazil that the qualifying on the day of the sprint race ended up getting canceled. So during a sprint weekend, the sprint race and the Grand Prix qualifying are on the exactly same day. But because of the weather had changed so extremely, they couldn't get the Grand Prix qualifying in. It had rained so, so, so heavy. So what they ended up doing, they did get a couple of practice runs in. They got an hour of practice, to tweak the cars for the Grand Prix qualifying. This is when there was 5 red flags in the practice round between qualifying and the sprint race. It's like the most you've ever seen in an entire F1 weekend. It was ridiculous. So they end up canceling the practice, or they end up canceling the Grand Prix qualifying. They have to do it in the morning of the day of the Grand Prix, which has only ever happened, I think, this is the first time ever. So these guys were up at like 7:30 in the morning. The pit crews were there at 4 a.m. just getting everything, trying to get everything repaired. Alex Albon absolutely 100% ends up missing out on qualifying. They did not get his car repaired in time. Between the 2 crashes for Williams this weekend, it ended up being like a couple $1 million in damage, which means they're not going to get some upgraded parts that they need for the last 3 races of the season because they've kind of run out of money. It's an unfortunate aspect of Williams just because they're not as big of a team. But at the same time, they're also making points up. They're making places, so they're going to get that bonus money, hopefully, at the end of the season, and they'll be able to afford a few more crashes when the weather like this does appear. When qualifying was actually on, it was such a gong show. It was so wet still. The weather was windy, clouds. It was not a good qualifying session. Super slow times, really nervous-looking drivers. Now, they can choose whatever tire they want to be on for qualifying, but it didn't really seem to matter. Everybody was super scared. Everybody was more concerned about binning the wall than putting in a proper lap time. Now, the guys that did put in proper lap times, they had figured something out. Go fast when you can, go slow in the turns. It was literally that simple when you broke it down and you watched like Max go and you watched Norris go and you watched Hamilton, Alonso, all of these guys, you were actually able to see the pace that you absolutely needed to go, when you needed to go fast, when you needed to go slow. So let's get into the bottom five of Q1. Now, remember, Max Verstappen ends up getting a 5 points grid penalty, just because he ended up getting a new power unit. He had so many replacements, five places. So bottom five with penalties included. We're going to go from the bottom. We're going to go to the top. Again, 20th automatically, Alex Albon, just because he wasn't able to compete. 19th, Joe Guan Yu, 19th, Joe Guan Yu, 18th, Nico Hülkenberg, 17th was Max Verstappen with the penalty, and 16th ends up being, Colapinto, sorry. Again, Colapinto trying his damnedest, but he doesn't have a whole lot of wet weather experience, so it's kind of, he did the best that he could, didn't quite make it. Now, as well as in this, we found out that Carlos Sainz will have a pit lane start. He did have to have a couple of extra pieces put in his car and replaced. It's not exactly going to be the worst position that he's ever been. The weather's not supposed to be that nice for the race anyway, so this could be actually a little more beneficial than not. Getting into Q2, the weather did not improve whatsoever. These guys have got full wets on in their training. Again, super slow. Some guys that figured it out, some guys didn't. It was just one of those, try your best, don't mess up the car and see where you can get. That's kind of the theme for Q3 and Q2 and Q1. It was exciting, but for all the wrong reasons. It was a lot of near misses, it was a lot of spin outs, a lot of yellow flags. Grand total for qualifying, there was five red flags between Albon, Alonso, Stroll, and Colapinto. Colapinto ends up getting 16th just because, like I said, he ends up binning it at the very end, which I forgot to mention. Going in for new tires, he ends up hitting the wall. He didn't make it outside of Q3 just because he didn't have that crash, but it was another red flag. It just extended things so long. Like, there was so much to keep track of. Q2, let's get into the bottom five. 15th was Ollie Bearman, 14th Lewis Hamilton, Gasly was 13th, Checo Perez was 12th, and 11th was Valtteri Bottas. Ollie Bearman, 15th. I'm very, very impressed where he ended up, because this is his third race in F1. He's never raced in the rain in F1. Now, the difference between F2 and F1 is just the horsepower and the development of the car. It's still a very new car for him. It's still that next step that he's learning to take. And this was a massive take, and that massive step he took this weekend in the rain. Spun out a bunch of times, almost hit the wall a bunch of times. He didn't end up actually crashing the car. It was just one of those weekends where you take it for what it is. It's a massive learning experience. You did well, you did the best you could, but 15th is where you're going to start. Lewis Hamilton, no fix in the car, no improvement whatsoever. Complaining about the performance of the car itself. He's not happy. Mercedes is not giving him anything really to work with. Fernando Alonso makes it into the top 10. We're going to talk about him in a quick second, as well as Lance Stroll. These guys are not exactly what Aston Martin's trying. They really are, but they're so far behind the eight ball with the development and how they put the car in that they're treading water, like, at best. All right, so let's get into Q3. Even more rain. Now, in my opinion, they should have called Q3. They should not have gone out whatsoever. They had the times established. You can make your grid from those times. So essentially what you would do is you would take the top 10 times from Q2, and that would just transfer into Q3, keep the drivers safe, keep the cost down, keep everybody happy. Well, as happy as you can be, but safe. And then that's how you would start the race. But unfortunately, that's not what happens. So a little explanation for what I talked about before. Alex Albon will have a pit lane start, not Carlos Sainz. The reason why Alex Albon will not start is because he makes it into Q3. He does a fantastic job. He's got the grip, he's got the pace, but he ends up hitting the white line, and this is where he absolutely demolishes the car. I had misspoke earlier. It was in Q3. Absolutely destroys his car. By the time everything is all said and done, he should have been. So when they do line up, the seventh spot you're going to notice was totally empty. This is where Alex Albon would have qualified. They don't bump everybody up if somebody can't start the race. They leave that grid spot empty, which can sometimes confuse other drivers. But in this case, the person behind him is Oscar Piastri. Spoiler alert, he makes it into eighth. He knows where he needs to go. But the rain was absolutely, it was just pouring. Just, it got even worse. Now, the top 10 guys, they know what they're doing. Okay, that's fine. Still, slow times, slipping, hitting the white line, spinning out, almost causing crashes, one big crash. It was just a bit of a gong show. Like I said, I think they should have just called Q3. They should have just put it out. This is how you finished in Q2. This is where your lineup is in Q3. Just be gone with it. See you back in a couple hours when the race is actually on. Hopefully the weather's a lot better. But of course, the FIA doing what they do best, they absolutely did not end up doing that. Fernando Alonso also ends up putting the car in the wall as well. He just needed some repairs. He doesn't take a grid penalty. He doesn't take a pit lane start, anything like that. It's nothing outside of the realm of being repaired in time. So let's go through our top 10 from 10th to 1st. Lance Stroll is 10th. Fernando Alonso is 9th. 8th is Oscar Piastri. 7th is that empty spot where Alex Albon would have been. 6th is Leclerc. 5th is Lawson. Ocon is 4th. Tsunoda is 3rd. Russell is 2nd. And Lando Norris is in 1st. Now it is time, folks. We are officially here. It is time for the Brazilian Grand Prix. It is 15 turns, 71 laps, 4.3 kilometers in distance. Top speed of 347.4 kilometers an hour. Fastest lap from 2018. Valtteri Bottas with a 1.10, 1 minute 110. That is absolutely going to be safe this weekend. You guys ever hear the song? Here comes the rain again. It absolutely did not stop pouring. On top of that, Carlos Sainz's pit lane start. He needed a new power unit and gearbox. Alex Albon, obviously, he's not going to be able to start the race because his car was not repaired in time. Oh my God, it rained and rained and rained and rained and rained and rained and rained. These guys are starting on full 100% wet tires with the slight potential of going into intermediate tires later on in the race if it decides to calm down. And let me tell you, it did not calm down one bit. In fact, it just made things a lot worse. It was weird right off the bat. Good old, unfortunately, I'm going to claim him as my own. He is a Canadian. Lance Stroll ends up spinning off the track for the formation lap. That's not the bad part. What the bad part was, where he spun off, there was three different ways he could have gotten back on the track. One, he could have reversed. He would still been in on tarmac. It would have been a little bit awkward, but he would have been able to get out. Two, you go straight. You go slight left. You take the runoff road. Then you rejoin the track. Option number three, you go through the pit trap, or you go through the gravel trap. The gravel traps are super fluffy. The gravel traps are very specific and specially made gravel shapes where it is meant to slow down cars. What does this fucking idiot do? He decides to go through the gravel trap, not fast, ends up beaching himself on the formation lap, causing a yellow flag, and they have to take him off the track. Lance Stroll, you're a fucking idiot. You are the most... I would take Latifi back, all right? I want Latifi back as the only Canadian driver on the grid because Lance Stroll, you are fucking dumb. You are the absolute example of you. The only reason you have a job is because your dad gives you one. You have the most experience on the grid amongst everybody out there. You've gone the most consistent laps in a row, even more than Fernando Alonso. Fernando Alonso took a two-year break, did some other things, came back. Lance Stroll has not taken a break. He's got the most experience on the grid. What the fuck is wrong with you? Just like mental break? It was so embarrassing. So they have to, it was so bad. So bad. Off turn four, it was just embarrassing. So it takes them like two extra laps to get him off. So actually the race itself is going to be 69 laps. He is out. So everybody lines up again. OK, Okay, so it's not raining hard enough to do a rolling start. Everyone's going to do a standing start, which is the same as the beginning of any other Grand Prix. You know, when you're sitting in your box, five lights out, 3, 2, 1, go, that kind of thing. So what had happened? Everyone does their formation lap, Lance Stroll stuck in the gravel. Okay, so when something like this happens, they will cancel the formation lap. And then you have to wait for them to say it's clear. You do another, or they'll cancel the start, and you have to do another formation lap. There's a process to this. There's lights you have to pay attention to, so on and so forth. Well, Lando Norris decides that either he wasn't paying attention or someone gave him the wrong information or something along that line. He just ends up going. And this kind of confuses a bunch of other people. All of a sudden, you've got 3 or 4 cars out on track, which are not supposed to be out on track. And everyone's like, well, what are we doing? Like, is there penalties? Are we going? Are we not going? So by the time they get all of that figured out, we've wasted another lap. And so now it's the beginning of the actual, race. Now accusations are flying that there's going to be a penalty. There's going to be a time start violation, all this kind of fun stuff, which at the end of the day, there's 5 racers that left when they weren't supposed to. They know they're not supposed to, yet they still did it. Ends up being a 5,000 euro fine. That's it. No penalty placements, nothing along that line. Now, let's actually get the race started. It was good. The beginning of the race, a little bit slower than what we're used to, but it was good. It was really, really, really good. Everybody behaved. Nobody spun off. Nobody crashed. A couple of weeble wobbles here and there, like Ollie Bearman, Fernando Alonso, all that kind of stuff. It was a very slick track. Now, what caused most of these, most of these incidents that happened throughout the race and all these spinouts, all that kind of stuff, it came down to something very simple, the white painted line on the side of the road. Now, the paint that they use is supposed to be a non-slip paint. It's supposed to be gripped. It's supposed to be easy to access. It was just like Ollie Bearman. He got a 10-second penalty for causing collision, no grip. He ends up spinning out, hitting another car. Examples like that. These guys are taking penalties that they don't normally do, but it's kind of like if the paint is supposed to be full of grip, it's supposed to be grippy. It's supposed to have some kind of texture to it. But I guess it was just raining so hard in Brazil that no matter what grip this tape or this paint actually had, it was just like putting a Formula One car on ice. No direction, no space. As soon as you started to spin, you were just a passenger. And because of the slick circumstances and because of the super bad rain, a lot of these guys did not exactly have a wonderful start. Lewis Hamilton, absolutely horrendous start. He almost stalled the vehicle. He had absolutely no grip, nowhere to go. And he's fighting the car from beginning to end. Like I said, Ollie Bearman, 10-second penalty for a spin, ends up no grip, ends up crashing into Liam Lawson. Both of them were okay. They did both end up did finishing the race. It's just Bearman. I mean, he's learning in the rain, literally learning as you go. It was one of those, all right, buddy, just do your best. Don't kill anybody. Don't kill yourself. Just get finished. When you're done and we'll talk about it. He did end up finishing the race, not nearly as high as he wanted to, but hey, it's a learning experience. That's what he's there for. He can't come in and dominate every single race he ends up subbing for. Fast forward, lap 28, Nico Hülkenberg, virtual safety car, ends up beaching himself on the old part of the Brazilian track. So what had happened was when they updated the track, they didn't demolish the old track and rebuild. They were able to incorporate some of the old parts of the track into the new track. Now that left some of the old parts just kind of off to the side, more of a runoff area in case you spun out, so on and so forth. In this case, Nico Hülkenberg ended up going up. He ended up getting beached. Unfortunately for him, he was not able to get himself out of the situation. So what had happened was the marshals ended up coming out, pushing him off, which actually gave Nico Hülkenberg the first black flag since like 2008, 2007. Essentially what had happened was he was disqualified from the race for accepting help from an outside personnel. Later on that lap, same thing, Oscar Piastri, a 10-second penalty for causing a collision with Liam Lawson again. these guys aren't aiming for them. What they're doing is it's just the slippery conditions, the slippery track, kind of lost control again, not necessarily, you know, hitting them out of the race. It's just like, hey, you shouldn't have to hit him. Slow down, take your time, not causing a collision, that kind of stuff. But I mean, 10 seconds for Oscar Piastri, not exactly the best race he's ever had. Still finishes in the top 10 though, actually. So it was a really good, end up being a good result for him. Fast forward, only two more laps. The rain is so incredibly hard. They end up bringing out a virtual safety car. They end up red flagging the race itself. Safety car due to rain, lap 30. They were able to get him back out, lap 32. Colapinto, he ends up smashing, going into the pit lane. He ends up demolishing his car. So that day is done. They end up red flagging the race again, lap 33 due to rain. It was a substantial stoppage just because it was just so heavy. I mean, on the bright side, everybody was, I mean, is there really a bright side to a red flag due to weather? Not really. The crowd was still super happy. The drivers, they were slightly annoyed, but they did understand. I mean, it's got to be safety first, right? I think it was about after 20 minutes or so, something along that line, we do get going again. All the way up until the next incident, lap 40, Carlos Sainz ends up spinning out turn 8. He ends up hitting the white line that everyone was being told to stay away from. Ends up going into the back of the barriers. Another DNF for another driver, which should have been an easier day for him. Finally, something positive happening. Lap 43, Max has been chasing everybody. He started in 17th, don't forget. In the first two laps, he went from 17th to 10th. And then with all these retirements and with all these virtual safety flags and all this kind of stuff, he ends up making his way all the way up to the front. Lap 43, first turn, inside pass, ends up getting into first. He ends up passing the McLarens. Now, here comes more McLaren talk. All of a sudden, it's more team orders. Norris has to pass Piastri. Norris must be out front for the rest of the time. All that kind of fun stuff. It ends up going fairly well, but with the way that the day had gone already, Norris and Piastri were in really, really good spots. But then they had a really bad pit stop before a virtual safety car, so they essentially wasted a pit stop. Everybody had fresher tires. With the weather, Piastri started to dip back a little bit more. Norris had a couple of massive overcorrections. When I say overcorrections, he didn't hit the wall, but he lost about 2.3 seconds per incident, which means he slowed down enough that he went from the beginning of the grid. He still ends up finishing in the top 10, but he ends up finishing outside of the top 5. Really, it started as a fantastic day for McLaren, but ended up not ended up so well for McLaren. They do still end up with massive points. They needed them, but not as well as, you know, Max. He gets into first and he just takes off from there. By the time he gets first, lap 43. By the time he hits lap 51, he's 6 seconds ahead of his closest competitor. By the time he hits lap 63, he's 13.6 seconds ahead of his closest competitor. By the time he actually finishes a race, he is 19.2 seconds ahead of his closest competitor. And it's not a competitor that you're going to necessarily guess of who it was. Max, once he got in first, it was game over. He had something to prove. He needed to prove to himself, to his team, and to his fans that this drought of bad racing was just, it was one in a million. It was them figuring things out, getting things in line again, and that it wasn't going to be for the rest of the season. Max absolutely lays down the gauntlet, ends up winning the race. V-Carb and Alpine, oh my God, where did they come from? Essentially, these guys were nowhere all season. Then all of a sudden, it comes to the worst condition race of the year. Everybody, both of those teams, top 10 finishes for everybody. They're making the massive points. They're making the serious loops that they needed to. I mean, Piastri and Checo Perez and Lawson, another really great battle, past versus future. And in this case, you know, Lawson ends up getting the best of Perez. Perez doesn't finish in the top 10. Lawson finishes in the top 10. It was just that dominant of a display from Lawson today. The Alpines, again, they finish in the top 5 from absolutely nowhere. Super clean race. They figured out the conditions. You're going to drive slow when you need to. You're going to drive fast when you absolutely have to. It was a fantastic showmanship of they're actually getting something from you know, all of their efforts throughout the season and the frustration might finally be gone. It's a little bit too late, I think, for them in the Constructors Championships. They are definitely going to jump some spots, but, you know, if they can continue their point race as they are now the last three races, they're going to be laughing by the time the season's done. All right, let's get into the top 10. We're going to go from 10 to 1. This is how the Brazilian Grand Prix finished. In 10th, Lewis Hamilton. In 9th, Liam Lawson. Oscar Piastri in 8th. Yuki Tsunoda in 7th. Lando Norris in 6th. Leclerc in 5th. Russell in 4th. Gasly in 3rd. Esteban Ocon in 2nd. Max Verstappen with the win. Fernando Alonso ended up finishing the race. He was in so much pain. The car was absolutely trash for him today. He finishes well, way out of the top 10. And he said the only reason why he ends up finishing the race is because he wanted to, you know, essentially send a thank you out to everybody who repaired his car, the pit crew, everybody there. It shows that extra human side of Fernando Alonso. He looked so uncomfortable. He looked like he was in so much pain after the race. Hopefully he feels better. Let's get into the Drivers' Championships. We're going to go from 1st to 10th. Max Verstappen is still 1st with 393 points. Norris is in 2nd with 331. Leclerc is in 3rd with 307. Piastri is in 4th with 262. And Carlos Sainz is in 5th with 244. George Russell leapfrogs Lewis Hamilton into 6th with 192 points. Hamilton is officially in 7th with 190 points. Checo Perez is in 8th with 151 points. Fernando Alonso is in 9th with 62 points. And rounding out the top 10 is Nico Hülkenberg with 31 points. Now, the Constructors' Championships, McLaren is still in 1st with 593 points. Ferrari is right behind them. They're in 2nd, 557 points. Red Bull's in 3rd with 544 points. Mercedes is in 4th with 382 points. Aston Martin's in 5th with 68 points. Alpine hops three teams. They are now officially in 6th with 49 points. Haas is in 7th now with 46. Vicar is in 8th with 44. Williams is down to 9th with 17 points. And good old Kicksalba is still absolutely 100% dead last. Race of the story. Max Verstappen becomes only the fifth driver to come from 17th or lower to win the race. In over 1,100 plus races, only 5 drivers have been able to do this. Max was just, man, what can I say? He was making a statement going, I am absolutely back and I will not disappear for the rest of the season. And folks, there you have it. That is the very, very, very busy Brazilian Grand Prix weekend. Oh my God, there was a lot of stuff going on. When is the next race? People are asking. Well, we are going to Viva Las Vegas, round 22, November 22nd to 23rd. This is not a sprint weekend. For us in North America, it is a little bit bigger or a little bit different of a weekend. Weekend warm-up on the Wednesday starts at 11:30 p.m. Practice Thursday morning. Thursday night, we're looking at 9:30 p.m. Friday, practice 2 is 1 a.m. our time. Practice 3, we are also looking at 10:30. Saturday, pre-qualifying show is at midnight. Qualifying is at 1 a.m. local time. Post-race show is 3 a.m. The race itself is Saturday night at 11 o'clock. Post-race show at 1 a.m. So it is not an early morning for us, thankfully, in North America. European viewers, you guys are going to have to get up a lot earlier than us, finally, for the first time this season. Well, there we have it, folks. I'd like to thank everybody here from F101. Thank you, everybody out there, for listening to us. And, we will talk to you guys in a couple of weeks for the Las Vegas Grand Prix.